Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and the guests ranking things in Star Wars, and we have found ourselves in another little series that we didn't necessarily intend, and that's kind of how I like to see Star Wars Ranked work at times. When you start diving into something, you're like, wait, there's an entire pocket to discuss on Star Wars Ranked. We recently did our favorite Imperial Officer moments. Then last time out, we did our favorite Rebel moments. And then we kind of realized, well, there's some other little factions in Star Wars. We can start ranking more of those. We might not even be done after this. So joining me here today is Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are going to rank our favorite bounty hunter moments. Joseph, let's go into the underworld.
As you wish. I am very excited to discuss the bounty hunters. They've always been close to my heart, so it's fun to really dive into specific moments.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed. And this is... I got to tell you, it's always a lesson in how you rank and where your mind goes, Imperial officers, and even Rebel moments. We both discovered we went to like Return of the Jedi or Empire more than others. Bounty other ones, I'll admit, almost got overwhelmed once we zeroed in on this topic, where
sequel trilogy, as we will talk about, doesn't have maybe as many bounty hunter moments as you want or you know, hope. That's a fair discussion point. But then the original trilogy dripping with it. Prequels got some stuff. But then it's like Clone Wars and Rebels and even Resistance has some moments where it's just so much that I had to admit being slightly overwhelmed. And then, you know, there's some Disney Plus series that pop up that have a lot to do with bounty hunting. So that's kind of where we're going to live here today. Did you have any issues ranking, just other than there's always a lot of good moments?
No, I did. I started to have issues, right? Because my mind always just kind of flits through the films first, looking for those big moments. A couple always pop in my head, and then I kind of scan in my mind for like, what might I be forgetting? And then I kind of get into the shows. And then when I did that, I was like, hey, and remember The Mandalorian?
Yes,
and
yes.
Book of Boba Fett. And then you get into like, okay, but that moment for Mandalorian, he's not being a bounty hunter. Like,
right.
So I saw myself going into an absolutely thick forest of confusion. And I said, no. And this is one of the quicker ranks, right? Just because I just said like, yeah. No, I'm going with my gut. And I'm always like to make sure that it represents a large spread, but I went with my gut.
Yeah, same. And there was, I know there's some moments in Resistance, and we both like Star Wars Resistance here. We even talked about that on the main show or the question show this past week. And I'd have to rewatch the whole series to pluck them out. Like, I just can't do that right here. So we'll acknowledge that those exist as well. So anyways, fun list. We are going into the underbelly of the galaxy, and we are going to begin working our way 5-1, Joseph, with your number 5.
My number 5, I'm going back to the beginning. I'm going to Empire Strikes Back. And I think one of the really fun things about putting this list together is the linear journey that I've gone on in my life is growing up with the original trilogy is the bounty hunters are mostly aesthetic, right? There are a few moments of true action, but it's mostly they're just standing there as this absolutely cool promise, this absolutely tip of the iceberg. Buy the action figures and make up your own stories. And then in the prequels, in the animated series, go into the Disney Plus shows, you get to see, from my perspective, the fantasies that I had as a kid, the things that I acted out with my action figures actually explode onto screen. But I wanted to start with just the promise of the bounty hunters. There's of course, the infamous scene with Vader hiring them all. There were so many different moments that I wanted to go to, but I had to go to my heart. And we just talked about this moment in the Imperials ranked from Piet's side. Yeah. But I had to go with my number 5 being Bosk's growl.
Yes.
There's so many things about that scene that are great. I almost wanted to include Dengar standing there for half a shot. You have to work to see him. And yet he lived in our cultural imagination. But that's like you get the moments between Vader and Boba Fett. But Bosk was always like, for me, like, what is the deal with this guy? So alien, so scary, so weird. And I think the fact that he is kind of in some ways our introduction to them. In that Piet's the one who's like names them, right? Bounty hunters.
Yeah.
We don't need that scum. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the exposition, Piet. A character moment with some exposition. That's exactly who they are. That's what's going on. But then looking up at Bosk and him being so alien and scary and cool in that great Star Wars sounds, the weird growl, and they're like, yeah, look at my toes.
yeah,
that's right. Right. I'm not wearing shoes on your precious ship, you know? I think it sells Bosk, you know, so it's not just Boba Fett who gets to shine.
Right.
Bosk gets a moment to shine in the film. And I think it communicates the, like, look, we are rough and tumble. We're out for ourselves. Just with a growl that is clearly Trandoshan for bleep you and kiss my toe claws, right? It's just like, that's a growl that doesn't give a damn and it's letting Piet know.
Absolutely. And you're right. We'll get to the Chalmers Cantina of it all and bounty hunters and other parts of Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back is, you're right, where they're named, where the moment after they're named, one is like intimidating you. You're just like, it takes you into a larger bounty hunter world. And I love it. That does kind of begin with Bosk. Yes, Boba Fett jumps out. He's almost designed to, right? Not just that he's the one being spoken to by Vader, but his design is cool and sleek. And then you got this lizard, this guy just woke up from a nap, a droid, a lot of things going on. But Bosk is the one that he's absolutely first out of gate in that scene. And I love that you highlight. I know you love Bosk. The connection to Doctor Who is part of the fun, too. I know.
Yeah.
But everything about it. Those toes, too. Just there. Look at this. Yeah, I ain't even wearing sandals.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll throw in an honorable Bossk mention, playing him in Battlefront 2 and having him throw the Dioxys and saying either just Dioxys or my favorite, breathe death.
Yes. That almost could just be the entire list of that moment.
It really could. So that's my number five. Yeah, a lot of great things to talk about with the cantina, how much they were pitched as bounty hunters or like some, mm-hmm. like I remember being confused as a kid as getting it like, oh, wait a minute, Greedo is a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
But like, Cabe is just a chatter fan who's having a drink.
Like, yeah.
Just because they're aliens doesn't mean they're bounty hunters. That was a lesson I needed to learn.
Absolutely. So,
good conversation there, but my number five is Bossk's growl.
Great way to start the list here. My number five is, well, it's a modern moment from 2019, and I even thought, I don't know, is that too obvious? Can I put this down? Let me think about it, and I don't know if I even love this moment on a first viewing. I liked it, but I was like, okay, I get it, but I just kept coming back to it. You talk about going with your gut, talking about best bounty hunter moments. We got to go to this almost a topic sentence in their lives. It is Din Djarin, but then we only knew him as Mandalorian, season one, chapter one, the opening scene. I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold. Mm. Look, it's this Western vibe. We know we talked, it's a gunslinger vibe, but it's a show about a bounty hunter. And you're right. There was a couple other moments where it's like, oh, what about that? Oh no, that's not a bounty hunter. That's him doing something else. That's him trying to be a father. This is just what you want your bounty hunters to be saying. This is when you're on the playground and your friend wants to be a Jedi and your other friend wants to be a rebel and you're acting out scenes and you're like, I play bounty hunters. That's my mode. That's my recess mode is bounty hunters. This is probably a line you may have even said. So it kind of, and it comes in 2019. So it's like a lifetime for many fans, a lifetime of dreaming about bounty hunters out in the galaxy, playing video games as them, playing with the figures. So it was truly kind of this fantasy come true moment as if you're a bounty hunter fan, it just worked on a lot of levels. And then again, I love when it's repeated and used. And even at one point, hey, that's my line from Din. So I love that showing up again, again, again. But it is just cool. And we have to, you know, you always have to be dangerous. It's dangerous when discussing it. You have to be careful, but like, you don't want to celebrate the underworld too much for being cool, but this is kind of really cool. So I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold.
Yeah. A lot of the bounty hunter fandom is there are parts of Star Wars that are didactic. They are life lessons. They're supposed to be inspiring. And there are parts that are cautionary tales or mm-hmm. parts that are just cool because you're having the fantasy of dabbling with a different perspective. And this is that absolutely the promise of the bounty hunters coming roaring back to life on screen, live action. What a great line to capture it of they like, I don't care about anything. I'm just doing a job in an incredible calmness, right? Mm. Of I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold. It doesn't make any difference to me. Yeah. It is your choice. What's implied in I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold is, but I'm going to bring you in. That's not up for question or debate. I'm being nice and giving you a choice. Are you alive or are you dead? Up to you. It's a great introductory line. A part of me almost wishes it didn't come back because it's just mm-hmm. great the way it is, and it's great for where he's at in that moment.
It could almost undercut it there, though. The return of Din Book of Boba Fett, just to see where he's not fallen at all, but just where he is at that point in his life, his career, when the whole sequence kind of repeats a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. There's something that's so it just almost wanted to stand on its own, but that's a testament to the line and to the moment. So there you go. That's my number five. We're off and running. Din Djarin showing up to lead us there, at least my list. We're on to your number four.
My number four, I knew I wanted to include something from Clone Wars because there's just a bounty of bounty hunters ideas in Clone Wars. And what my mind actually went to, probably because we rewatched it relatively recently for our Clone Wars report show, and I went to the journey that Asajj Ventress goes on. Specifically, Asajj Ventress takes the whole train.
Yes.
It is the episode Bounty. The previous episode, Asajj has lost everything. She has been rejected by the Sith, by Dooku. She thought she came home to the Night Sisters, but then the Night Sisters are wiped out, and she's trying to figure out who she wants to be, what she wants to be, and she tries out being a bounty hunter. And I love the way the whole episode plays out, and it's really that it's that Asajj is at the top of her game, right? That she is like, sure, okay, I get it. Bounty hunters, you do work for money. You can bring in people in warm or cold. Got it. But she's so skilled that once she kind of figures out everything that's going on, it's the fun of the physical power of a bounty hunter. Like if you had told me, when I was a kid and had my Bossk action figure, like someday you're gonna get to see an angry force using bounty hunter. Be like, what? And like, and here's what she looks like. Head explodes, right?
Yeah.
So she is, I love that she's absolutely being a bounty hunter. It's only her and Boba Fett that survived the train battle without being thrown off the train. The other bounty hunters literally survive, but they all get thrown off the train if you haven't seen it in a while. And by the time she gets to the end, I love that she uses her actual power, like her fighting abilities and her force abilities, to take out all competition, take out Boba Fett, and take out this other fighter who is trying to free his sister, who is the actual bounty. And at the end of the day, what she ends up doing is just kind of the bounty hunter actual, you know, ethos of I decide. I'm not aligned with anyone. I decide. And I love that she makes this decision that is both the bounty hunter decision and also her moral decision. She gets her money and she keeps her morals. You know, she ends up freeing the girl, but still takes payment from her family to return her. And then she takes her cut of the Krayt Klaus bounty group's bounty, but keeps Boba alive, gives them the rest of the money. And it's this great moment where she's like, yeah, no, I that's what a bounty hunter means to me, is the power to make my own choices.
Yeah.
And I still want to get paid, but I'll decide what I think is moral. And I'll also take my effing money, and I have the power to do it. I think it's just an interesting picture of who and what a bounty hunter can be, and such a great fun surprise for the character of Asajj Ventress.
And it's a great secret. Yeah, it's a wonderful character, great sequence. We just recently covered that on Clone Wars Report. It's just fun to rewatch because my memories of Asajj being a bounty hunter is like, oh yeah. Then she becomes a bounty hunter, but it's really more powerful than that. I think you're right to dig into those themes on what that means. But also, I never really focused on that idea of what you're talking about. She's almost too good for it skill wise, right?
It's like,
this is the game. Okay, I can just use my hand and force pull the bounty to me. Like, what? All right. So it's like she's an NBA player that just went down to like junior high basketball. Like, all right, I don't even need to jump to slam. I'm here. So there's not humor. It's just like, it's a fun daydream. You're right. It is just like, what if Darth Vader got bored and just started a bounty hunting business and just was so good at it, he became bored at that. I don't know. I just saw a fascinating angle to that too. And yeah, again, great sequence, a great way to drill down on some of the stuff that's going on inside Asajj and what it means to her there. And just great stuff with Boba Fett and the group there. So great stuff. Great moment.
Yeah, great episode, and for me, really highlights some of the meaning behind Asajj becoming a bounty hunter. So that's my number four.
Great number four. My number four, we always look at little lines, big moments. That's what these lists are made up of, and this is just a tiny little moment. Tiny little moment. It's always been one of my favorite little Star Wars quotes. It comes at the end of, I think, a very fun sequence, which some of my favorite music from the prequels, and I am going to Attack of the Clones, to Zam Wessel, to her last words, essentially, among her last words, it's just a job as she dies, as Boba Fett, as Jango takes her on that Boba, excuse me. I love Zam Wessel. I love the design. Always, again, we always talk about that, you and I and a lot of people in our generation having this weird relationship with the prequels at the time and going, well, I don't know if I liked it, but that Zam Wessel was pretty cool. That's how Star Wars can pull you in if you don't fall in love with it right away. I really believe that. The cool little moments, the seismic charges, all that kind of stuff. And for me, it was Zam Wessel, that chase. But I've just always loved that. I mean, who hasn't wanted just to kind of say that when you're dealing with something at work? Just a job. And a little bit of the tied into the bounty hunter ethos and the morality of it, the immorality of it, some of those big questions about it, and maybe you should question your job, all those, and what you've been paid to do. Yeah, all bigger stuff there. You could dig into it from there. And I just love it. I love also with the frustration, Kenobi and Anakin trying to get information, and she's just like, I don't know, I try to kill the senator. It's just a job. Like, there's nothing I could do about it. Love everything about it. And just, again, unintentional Star Wars quotes. You can use it in a lot of other areas of life, including the energy. So that's my number four, Zam Wessel, and it's just a job.
Oh, I love this pick. There's so many great things about Zam Wessel. I really like the fact that she's this Claudite changeling, the idea of a changeling. It really works with a lot of the big picture ideas in Attack of the Clones of kind of not knowing who people are and not knowing who to trust and what's really going on, all that kind of stuff. Of course, love the Kenobi scene of taking a hand is a way to isolate and, you know, get her to talk with the least amount of violence one would hope. Yeah. And certainly other keeping other people from being hurt in the old Outlander Club. But you're right, that line and that delivery, it's so, there's something sad about it of just like, why can't you understand? I was just doing a job. And like the way she says it, like, I just work at Brugger's Bagels. You just tried to murder a senator with like massive galactic impact, right? Not just any senator, the one leading the charge to stop the creation of an army, right? And it is a great isolated moment of a different perspective of bounty hunters of like, what? Everybody has a job to do and it's not personal. It's just a job. And sad as the character, you know, dies from taking this just a job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you should question. Look what the job got you and all those kind of big things in Star Wars, too. And I just love that sequence. It's a great way to start that movie, which has a lot of private investigator, old gumshoe vibes, and we're right into it from the start. I love that.
Yep. An informant dying before they can spill the beans.
There you go. That is my number four, which means we are up to our number three moment here. Joseph, what is your number three?
My number three is one that just jumped at me, and I was like, okay, I could stop and do a long list of this character, but I'm just going with my gut. My number three is a very small moment. It is in Return of the Jedi. It is Boba Fett's head nod to Bush Bosh Boosh, however you choose to say that bounty hunter's name that Leia takes on the identity of. It is, look, Boba Fett could have been this whole list, right? But that is the moment for me that it just, I liked it as a kid and it always resonated with me. I think, you know, being in Jabba's palace, having so many more action figures of, you know, the dangerous aliens and debating, like, are they all bounty hunters? Is Squidface a bounty hunter or is he just like a guy hanging out?
Right.
But there was no ambiguity. That scene was about bounty hunters. That was Leia pretending to be a bounty hunter, collecting the bounty on Chewie and being a badass about the way that she got paid. Yeah. And it just in that one little moment gave so much character to Boba Fett, gave so much perspective to the job of a bounty hunter where Boba Fett's clearly like, I'm on Jabba's payroll and somebody's causing trouble. So I raised my blaster. I'm ready to deal with it. But Jabba handled it the way he wanted to. He signaled that we should respect this bounty hunter. So I'll give you a nice little well-played nod. It's just a show of respect from one badass to another. And it makes it even richer when you realize it's Leia, who everyone should be nodding to.
Yeah. It's a little bit of the visual representation of a Force Center well said. Well said. And it becomes an iconic moment. And you could use that GIF or JIF or Bausch or Bosch or Boosh. You could use it if you like. And it's, I've always said that's kind of me at a party where I don't know a lot of people, just me in the corner, just kind of nodding. But you talk about the, like, a little bit of the world building and going to like Empire and Return of the Jedi is the one that where I kind of had the earlier relationship first before I really took that, deep dive in Empire. So for me, this is a little bit how I understood bounty hunting in the galaxy. Little bit. And I really picked up on that energy of like, aha, you know what? Good job. I respect game recognizes game. I see it. And I'm seven and I'm like, oh, okay. That's what it is. Okay. That's the life that they all do. And how Boba Fett, he would have pulled that trigger if he needed to, or was told to, but he didn't have to. And because of that, Hey, you're all right. I like what you did there. I've done that too. So I just, everything about it, it's so cool. And it helps build that, absolutely helps build the legend of Boba Fett, the masked warrior we hadn't seen much of back then. Of course it does. It builds that allure of him indeed. So it works on a lot of levels.
Yeah, it's a great, elegant little beat. I don't want this to have actually happened, but hearing you say it, there's a part of me that wishes that George Lucas had got Temuera Morrison to actually say, game recognizes game, as he nodded for the special edition. I don't actually want that. I just want to hear it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. But that's my number three, Boba Fett's nod.
Yeah, we have reached the Boba Fett section here because my number three involves Boba Fett as well. So we're going to Empire Strikes Back. A lot of great Boba Fett is in there, of course. And again, for me, saw Jedi first, then Empire. But I saw it all so close together. It just really, my experience was as if I saw them all at the same time. I say that. But really, when we're breaking it down, the nod and then also the flailing and falling in the Sarlacc pit is how I met Boba Fett. So to go back a little bit, probably a week or two later on VHS, I can't remember, but there's so many moments where that's when I was like, oh, okay, I get what they're talking about with this Fett guy on the playground. And for me, it's when Luke shows up and the whole, he's sneaking around and he sees Fett and he's hiding and he's telling R2 to be quiet. I've always loved that Fett comes back, pops back up and takes those blaster shots at him. So it's Boba Fett firing on Luke Skywalker, because for me, like, Luke's a Jedi. Jedi are like, they almost can't be defeated. I'm like Anakin in Phantom Menace. Like, I hear Jedis can't be killed, Qui-Gon. That's what I heard on the street. So I'm kind of thinking that's how it goes. These are truly superheroes. And in this moment, it's like a little bit of fear crept in for little Kenny back in the day. It was like Boba Fett got the drop on him. Like, that's kind of crazy to me. And then the blaster hitting the wall and like the smoking kind of remains of the blaster, the crater of everything about it. It just talk about building the mystique of Boba Fett. That is it. That in my mind, and I'm not saying this is right, but in my mind, when I saw that early on in my childhood, he bested a Jedi in that moment for me, which then, hey, you can spit it off into Mandalorian Jedi Wars. All kind of, and then as a kid, I was like, wow, you've got that, bounty hunters are that dangerous. Boba Fett got the drop on him for a second. So, anyways, love that moment on Empire Strikes Back on Bespin.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of that, you know, as a kid, and you're processing, like, you know, who could take who? Who's more powerful? Like, but if Luke can stand up to Vader for a little while, he can take out Boba Fett, but Boba Fett got the drop on him. Was Luke paying attention? Like, all that kind of great stuff that your kid mind goes through. You're with Luke as the hero, that look of alarm as he realizes, oh, no.
No.
Bounty Hunter is very well aware that I'm following him and is on me and just plastering that wall saying, don't come after me, kid.
Yeah.
But it's also really it's significant, right? Because so much of Empire is just the aesthetic and the threat, the growl, and Boba Fett's too smart for Han Solo. The dumb, rigid Imperials don't get the trick of the Falcon hanging on and waiting for the trash to be dumped out, but Boba Fett does, and his weird ship, and pushes back on Vader, you know, and all that stuff. But this is the moment of action, right? Where blasters up, just pound on that wall, turn it into blazing craters. It's a cool moment.
Blazing craters. There's a punk band we all need. That's great. That's great. Love that. Love that indeed. Yeah. So there you go. The allure of Boba Fett, all in a blazing crater. That's my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two, I stayed in the general land of Boba Fett in that I went to his television show, Book of Boba Fett. I was thinking through all the kind of different moments of bounty hunters being cool or terrifying that we've got to see in recent times. And I wanted to include this character somewhere because he is such a great bounty hunter that so far has had no kind of redemption or questioning. Mm-hmm. Their actions, and I'm going to Cad Bane versus Cobb Vanth. That entire scene, there are so many Clone Wars moments. I was like, oh man, I could pick up this. I love Cad Bane fighting both Kenobi and Quinlan Voss, and all sorts of great Cad Bane moments in Clone Wars animated series where he originated. But this was that power of taking that weirdo who we kind of know from. That we know from the animated series, but we know the species from starting with A New Hope with Duros, right? And translating it into what I kept describing as nightmare fuel, right?
Yeah.
Like bounty hunters are in this cool space where you can kind of look at them as like scary badasses, and you can have the fun of imagining you're Boba Fett and you're scary and you have that power, or you know, or you've hired Bossk and no one can push you around because Bossk is on your side. The way the whole Cad Bane scene is constructed, I feel like the audience's empathy is so much with Cobb. We have put so much emphasis on the fact that he has, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, given up that armor, and it's made him vulnerable. And then here comes a bounty hunter that I think a lot of people certainly love, but I didn't watch that scene like I'm Cad Bane and I'm rooting for him. I watched that scene like I'm Cobb Vanth and Nightmare Fuel Man is going to take me, you know, is going to blow me away. I just love seeing the bounty hunter as almost a horror movie. Like, it's obviously a Western.
Yeah,
but it's Cad Bane is this absolute, you know, Bane is an absolute terror. Everything about the scene is constructed so well. The standoff between the law and a very bad person who does not care about the law, who can draw their blaster faster, is the law. You know, it's such a great underlining of what bounty hunters can be and mean, that they only follow whatever code they have to get what they want in the whole thing, that the whole thing is about intimidation, right? You know, ends with the deputy totally gone, the marshal on the sandy ground, and Cad Bane, you know, Tatooine belongs to the syndicate. It's, you know, it's just such a great bounty hunter moment in kind of a different flavor.
No, yeah, I'm glad you included it for so many reasons, other than it's like, great Cad Bane stuff. But the horror show of it all and the way that worked out. I just remember like it was years ago, a couple almost weeks ago when this first dropped, of just having to watch just that sequence over and over and over, not for, well, we're going to review it on Force Center, we're going to dive into the themes, but just like, I need to see that play out again. Everything about it was just that Star Wars cool, but just Star Wars terrified in its own way. That's why I really love it. It's so good.
Those, the way the teeth just look extra nasty, the way those blazing red eyes are revealed, and it seems to unsettle everybody in town who's watching. Like, it's just a great scene. I could go on and on about it, but I'm going to stop myself. Number two, Cad Bane versus Cobb Vanth.
I almost think that has to be there, and it is Joseph's number two. My number two, we are going to back to The Mandalorian. In fact, we're going back to season one, chapter one. This is a moment that, you talk about going with your gut on the episodes. There's a tendency sometimes, I think, I don't know if it's just our generation or if you're just putting together these shows, where you're just like, sometimes something new or recent, you have trouble including it onto a legacy list, right? Where you're like, did that really affect me? Maybe you'll see how it stands up over time. But then it's been a few years already, because the way time works. But I just in terms of bounty hunting moments, and this is two bounty hunters going after a target, and the reveal of that target has giant ramifications on the show. It is the show in many ways, but it is, of course, an IG-11, and Mando go, what I say, full action figure on the compound there at the end there, fighting the guards there, and of course the reveal of Grogu. Which is big, or Baby Yoda, whatever the child, the target, the asset, whatever you want to call him at the time. That entire sequence, the humor, the comedy of IG-11 about to self-destruct, and what that means for his story later on. Seeing an IG droid. Remember, we thought we were going to get IG-88 in this show, but no, it's IG-11. But doesn't matter. We get to finally see that figure move around the screen, even though we had seen some stuff in other, maybe an animation or something like that. Even Filoni talked about that, you know. You spent a lifetime wondering how that droid IG-88 went about its job, and now we can kind of see that play out. Them having to team up, using the blaster, the floating kind of E-Web blaster there. Just all these moments that are just, if you're thinking about being a bounty hunter, this is probably what you daydream of, if that makes sense. Like, you want the job to go easily. You're going to say cool lines, like, I can bring you a new arm, I can bring you in cold. But sometimes if it's in your blood, you kind of like this. Like, I have sometimes used to drive my old job and be like, oh, man, I don't want an earthquake, but it'd be kind of fun if I had to deal with something big today. Like, it's just weird. You have this kind of weird adrenaline button that you want to connect it to. And I just got to imagine that Din was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to team up with this droid. All right, I'm going to have some fun doing this as well. So it's this giant sequence that ends in some of the most poignant stuff and changes Din's journey. Yes, he has some other bounty hunter actions that he's going to have in his life, and especially where we pick up with him a little bit later on. But this, to me, his life is never the same after this moment. So it's a crescendo of his bounty hunting career. It's the big final act of that chapter. So it has a meaning in that level too, but also just fun to watch. That's why it's my number two.
Yeah, no, I love this one. I'm so glad you included it. I almost considered including IG-88 in Shadows of the Empire coming up on that trash heap.
Yes.
But yeah, I think from my perspective, that is, yeah, the action figure adventure come to life. Like, I think we constructed almost literally that adventure, my brother and I, like, hey, the bounty hunters all need to get into this building, but maybe some stormtroopers are taking some shots at them. These aren't stormtroopers, but like, you know, fired rubber bands at each other's, you know, bounty hunter figures. It's so an action figure scene come to life. It's the, hey, what if all those bounty hunters, you know, in Empire Strikes Back had a fight? What would it really look like? And it just utterly brings it to life. And you get all of the cool of IG-11 spinning and really seeing, you know, Mando released with all of his different tactics. And then the humanity as well of really seeing what it's like. And IG-11's like, well, time to self-destruct. It's really, really funny and really effective. And builds to such a great twist, questioning the idea of, why are we doing this? What are our choices? What are our morality? Because by the end of it, you're really like IG-11 and you feel bad that Din lasts him, but he has to, right?
He has to.
It's not just an awesome, cool scene. Like, if it was two badass bounty hunters who never questioned anything, you know, if it was Cad Bane and Aurra Sing, it would have been cool. But it was even more that it was that cool and led into all these ideas of questioning what you're fighting for and why.
Yeah. Yeah, big stuff indeed. And again, recent, 2019. Yes, that counts. That counts. Immediately becomes legendary. So I challenged myself to put that on the list. And there it is, my number two. But we're not done. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have some of our honorable mentions and our number one choice for our best bounty hunter moment, our favorite bounty hunter moments here on Star Wars Rant. Be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Star Wars Rank. Me, Ken Napsok, and Joseph Scrimshaw are ranking our favorite bounty hunter moments. A lot to choose from. So many to choose from, big and small, which means some are off the top five and on our honorable mentions list. Joseph, what are a couple that almost made it?
Well, first, my utter heartbreak that I did not put Embo, one of my very favorite bounty hunters, in my main list. Spoiler for my number one, it's not Embo.
Yeah.
But I love Embo. I've gone on and on. I think his design is great. He just really evokes Star Wars and the fun of, like, the gimmick isn't even the right word. His hat, the hat that can do anything. It can be a shield. It can be a throwing device. And the moment I'm putting on here, it is also a transportation device. I think of all the cool moments with Embo, I was tempted to put his first appearance in the episode called Bounty Hunters. But the one we recently watched on Clone Wars, where Embo snowboards on Scipio while taking it to Anakin Skywalker. Come on, a bounty hunter who snowboards and it is actually cool? How is that possible? Well, the magic of the Clone Wars. So Embo snowboards is on my honorable mention list. Also, going back to Mandalorian, there's so many great moments, but one that just sticks with me that I love is when Mando returns to Navarro having completed the bounty, and he walks into that bar full of jilted, upset bounty hunters, and Greef Karga has one of my favorite lines in all of Mandalorian. They all hate you, Mando. It's a really funny moment, and it's just kind of getting into the culture of bounty hunters in this specific version where there's a guild, and it's not always sexy, right? Like, or thrilling. It is like the, like, having some fun with, like, wow, which of these bounty hunters could go up against Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker? Who's smart enough to take up with Han Solo? Or, you know, Han Solo and Dengar used to race, and, like, all these kind of, like, cool things. And then, like, this bar full of, like, we collect debt from people who cannot fight, who could not figure out how to fight a blaster. We're basically just like really mean Uber drivers going and picking up people who did not call for an Uber, right? And seeing that culture and then seeing within that this actual warrior that they all hate for being too good at the job.
Oh, God, it's Carl Weathers at his best there. Just loved him in Star Wars. That's a great. They all hate you, Mando. And the glee, just the absolute glee in Greef's voice. Like, oh, this is great. This is great. They all hate you, and I love it.
Yeah, all-time moment for me. Another one is Aurra Sing just watching the races.
Yeah,
it just, again, that Star Wars flair of like, who is that? There had been, you know, talk about, you know, but oh, she's really cool. She's going to, you know, feature bigger. You know, she was maybe going to be a Sam Wessel kind of thing, all that. It's just that continual ability of Star Wars to just show a cool design for a half a second and fire off imagination. So
yeah,
I put her there. I got two more left. Do you want me to pause?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on that Aurra Sing moment, which is absolutely great, has to be there. And our friend Van William appreciates that. He's still one of the biggest Aurra Sing fans I know. And so much of that fandom came out of that moment. And then she appears again in Clone Wars, this we know. But other stuff for me, a smaller moment, going to Rise of Skywalker, speaking of recent moments, Rothgar Dengar lives. Rothgar Dengar I don't know the entire story how that came about. I don't know if it's just Pablo in a book going, how about this? Because this you can't avoid this. I don't know the whole story yet. I haven't taken the deep dive. I just love that Dengar, in an effort to prolong not only his life but his career, after spending so much of it just looking disheveled, but looking out pretty cool and collected in the Clone Wars when we first
met. Yeah.
Yeah. It's this slide, and he's just can't let go, and he's got all this work done, and he's kind of still got the same armor, but he's just at a bar in the galaxy hanging out. I guess maybe it's like, drawing comparisons to the pro wrestling world I know so well, where just some folks just can't leave the ring. And you're holding on, man. Time to go. And you're working a show at a swap meet in nowhere's land. Let it go. And that's what I think of when I see Rothgar Deng drinking there in Rise of Skywalker.
I love that you picked this one. You know, we grew up with the "This is your brain on drugs" ads everywhere. Yeah. And the Dengar, who was never the coolest bounty hunter, but did look cool in the Clone Wars. And then just, oddly shaped with the just painful grimace, doesn't look like they're enjoying life. The whole thing has a vibe of, kids, this is your brain on bounty hunting. Do you really think it's cool now? Like,
yeah, it's like everyone, did, and Boba, everyone's gone on to have some life-changing events. They've grown, they've changed, and there's Rothgar Deng. Like, no, I'm still here.
Hanging on. That's a great one.
I love that. And then we've got this one. I've talked about it so many other spots, and it's less of a bounty hunter moment, more of just a cool ship moment in Star Wars. But Jango Fett using his seismic charges for the first time, at least for us as an audience, in Attack of the Clones. It's what you want out of your bounty hunter. It's what you want out of Jango and Boba and passing that legacy. And the seismic charges are used to great effect in Mando Season 2 and Book of Boba Fett. But I've talked often. It's just such a great moment, such a great sound effect. And that's sometimes all you need to bring you back to a movie that maybe you don't fully get or love, or you just have your position on the movie evolve over time. And that's Attack of the Clones for me. But that was it, man. That was just so dang cool. And again, if I'm envisioning a bounty hunter flying around the galaxy, he better have cool seismic charges like that in Jango.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the fulfilling the promise of the original trilogy, right? Of not just Boba Fett being super cool, but his ship being amazingly cool and fantasizing about what it could do, and the visual effect. And, look, all respect to the emotional power of the Holdo maneuver. But sound design wise, Ben Burtt and the seismic charges did it first. Yes. And I remember just being utterly shocked by that in the theater. Such a great choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir. For me next, I wanted to put on the list because I've just loved this character for so long. And I'm one of those fans who just big scream of celebration when he showed up in Book of Boba Fett, going to Black Crescent. Now, again, there's a lot of moments. I was like, do I get fancy and choose a comic book moment? Do I do that? Do I choose the moment in which he really gets upset at Transdotians, and he's drunk and he's a little down and out, and he destroys them in the sanctuary, which leads to the great Garsif Whip speech? I think it can best be summed up, my love of Black Crescent and his impact on the Star Wars world at large, when he shows up with the twins and stares down Boba Fett. A character he does have history with. I don't even need to know about that history. You don't need to know about that history. The entire story is told in those eyes. Black Crescent, intimidating. Talk about intimidation with a bounty hunter. Purposeful. He's going to go on a little mission too. Speaking of bounty hunters that grow and change a little bit, but love that moment. It's everything that I just wanted to see in Black Crescent. If he's ever to show up in live action, it works so well. It's one of my favorite moments.
That is such a great moment. I really toyed with having the Black Crescent dribbles booze down his fur as he glares angrily at the existence of Trandoshans in his space. Such a great moment. But you're right. That, in some ways, like the music and the impact of just like big, mean. Didn't your partner, Grace, call him Satan Wookiee?
Satan Wookiee, yeah. Yeah.
Big, mean, scary Wookiee looking like, oh, man, this is terror incarnated. You want intimidation? Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope one day we get a really revamped and vamped up Black Ascent and Black Series figure. So there you go. That's one more from me, sir, but a couple from you.
Yeah, jumping to the sequel trilogy. This is more just like, hey, you don't get to see him flip around fighting, but you get to see him looking real cool. I really love the design of Bazine Natel. In particular, you know, that she's got the little moment of making the call to let the First Order know that BB-8 is there on Takodana. Just such a great design in the sort of pantheon of women bounty hunters. She is one of the great ones. You know, there's a short story, Perfect Weapon, that I got to read someday, all about Bazine Natel, but just the power of the awesome design, honestly. And sometimes that is the point of the bounty hunters. Is the awesome design.
Yeah, and again, we know in the sequel trilogy, there's probably you know, less moments to choose from, but great design. And just by that design alone, not unlike Aura Sing in the pod race, you could just you want more storytelling. We do get a little bit more storytelling with her, I know, but Anna Brewster plays her, and it's just it's a little moment, but it's an impactful moment. And, you know, carries on the legacy of bounty hunters in the galaxy.
Yeah, and you get to ask, why did she have finger-only gloves? Just cover her fingers. It's so exotic and alien, exciting. And then my final honorable mention is, you know, I was trying to think of the best way to phrase this, but the real original bounty hunter is Greedo, right? So my honorable mention is Greedo makes a bad choice. You can get into the debate about whether he fired at all. Where did he fire? But Greedo just cornering Han, not thinking with his head, not using the gifts of wisdom that the maker gave this poor Rodian. Our introduction to bounty hunters is making a bad choice and ended up with a smoking gut in a lousy cantina.
It's the tales of Greedo. Oh, the sad tales of Greedo. No, you got to include that. And again, it is kind of our introduction, just not as, you know, I don't know, as not with as fine a point as Empire or Return of the Jedi, but love everything about that there. Final one for me. You know, I wanted to include some more Boba Fett. And again, no matter what version, talk about different versions and who delivers the line, they both work for me. One I kind of grew up with in my head. One is still relatively new, even though it might be decades old. That is Boba Fett bargaining with Darth Vader, saying things like, he's no good to me, Dad. And what if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me. These are classic lines. And at one point in time, the only thing we really got from Boba Fett and trying to figure out who this character was. But for me, the big thing about it, the headline is Boba Fett's bargaining with Vader. He's like, yeah, no, this might not work for me here, okay? And Vader's, you know, control, but here he is yelling at Lando, you know, pray I don't alter the deal any further. And it's Boba Fett just like, no, hold on. I have a job here to do. This was our agreement. And I just kind of like that about Boba Fett too. And he's like, yeah, I get it. You got the cape. That's good. You could kill me, but I also need this money. So I just always love that Boba Fett stands up to him.
It's really great. I mean, whether it's Jason Wingreen or Tamura Morrison, the lines have a similar impact, and they sound cool and down to business. And I don't care about anything. I'm just protecting my bottom line here. But yeah, in a movie where the Imperials can't even apologize to Vader without being choked.
Yes.
And he's like, no, I will insist on my full payment, Vader. And Vader's like, yeah. You know, it does really give him some power.
It does. Elevates the mystique. A lot of mystique about that Boba Fett character there. Mm-hmm. Those are some of our honorable mentions. We could keep listing more. There's a lot to get to, but we're going to go to our number one choices here. And I'll go first so Joseph can close the show with his number one. We've mentioned him already. He is probably my favorite bounty hunter, with all due respect to Black Crescenton. I love him. And that is Cad Bane and team, Aura Sing, among others, showing up to create quite a stir, I should say, and a crisis in the Clone Wars episode 122, Hostage Crisis. Now, we've been doing the chronological rewatch, which is so it's part of a bigger arc. But I'm kind of, Joseph, thinking about how we all kind of actually really met him here, which was the end of season one, where this cliffhanger shows on up, this whole episode, a great end of the season. And this is where Cad Bane kind of enters the party and enters in a big way. Enters with like death, murder. Like it's this Ocean's 11 of, you know, breaking in and trying to kidnap a senator here. It's a lot of stuff. You know, it's key for me, at least a Star Wars fan, where it's at the end of season one. Season one's great stuff. While it's still the Clone Wars, some of the jokes, some of the references, it's a little different. And then we're all learning about Ahsoka, but, you know, she snips more at this time than she is what she'll become later on. We know that. And you might have been wrestling with some prequel, issues and all these kind of things. And all of a sudden at the end of it, for me, and I know a lot of people, this guy Cad Bane shows up. And even I've said this, you look at that design. How is that going to work? It's a cowboy with his hat and a duster. Like, oh, that's a little too close. I get it. It's Star Wars. It's Western influenced. I get it. And he's dangerous. He's also kind of cool. Like we keep talking about, real things are happening with that affect the story, affect the galaxy. It is a great arrival. It is what you might want a bounty hunter to be like if you're sketching up the idea, and it just works on so many levels. He creates this stir, creates this buzz, and for me, ups the level and importance of the Clone Wars show. For me, that's my personal experience with it, and I credit the Cad Bane's arrival as big in my love of Clone Wars. That's why it's my number one moment.
I think it's a great choice, and I think it's a great episode to highlight since it is his, you know, his introduction in our linear real world timeline. Mm-hmm. that is his introduction, and he just saunters into the Capitol, yeah. Right, and into the Senate building, and just takes hostage, slaughters clone guards, keeps Anakin Skywalker on his back heels the entire episode, you know, making a punk of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you'd want for the if anybody started with Boba Fett and even read like some of the books where it's like part of the fun of bounty hunters is they either have like a kind of gray moral code or absolutely no moral code. They're just in it for themselves, for the money. And you're kind of enjoying that dangerous tale of a badass with no morality or maybe their own moral mm-hmm. code. Cad Bane just so supported that. I think I've moved on from it, but I was hungry when I was first watching the Clone Wars in 2014 I was really appreciating more and more of the aesthetic from the prequels, but still enjoying the stuff that still felt like original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And Cad Bane just does, like, he's that perfect, like, it should be silly. Like, Bossk should be silly. He's, you know, he's a lizard in a human space astronaut like jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It should be silly, but it's cool and it's badass. And Cad Bane should be silly. He's like a big blue alien with the like big, you know, almost alien autopsy eyes, you know, and then he's dressed like a cowboy. So like, if you said like, okay, you want to see the coolest thing ever? It's an alien autopsy from X-Files Alien. But he's dressed like a cowboy. You're like, get out of here, right?
Yeah.
But the magic of Star Wars that it all comes together right with the right voice, the right performance, the right story. Mm-hmm. And people love him because he's a cool badass.
Absolutely. It's like he went straight from Roswell, New Mexico to the Star Wars galaxy. He's gray in Star Wars. Yeah, I love everything you're saying about it. And again, I'm talking about my specific journey. He popped on screen and I just was like, what the bleep is this? No way. No. And at the end of that episode, I'm like, holy, oh my, yeah, this guy is something else. And there you go. That's why we love Cad Bane. That's why it's my number one, but we're not done. Joseph, what is your number one moment, your favorite bounty hunter moment in Star Wars?
My number one might be one of my weirder number ones that I've had in lists. I was pretty sure that I wanted it to be this bounty hunter, and then I was having a hard time picking a moment, and I thought of a lot of them, but I went to, instead of any of the cool action moments, I went to a line, because it was a line that for me captures the stoic, badass, cool, I go my own way, don't challenge me on it, or you're going to get a surprise vibe of bounty hunters. I'm going to Attack of the Clones. I'm going to Jango Fett meets Obi-Wan Kenobi. And instead of being even a little bit intimidated or deferential, comes out with this key a bounty hunter mantra. It should be on his business cards. When Jango Fett says to Kenobi, "I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe." I love that from the second I saw it in the theater. And I think that whole scene is great as Kenobi's trying to push and they're both they both know exactly what's going on. And there's a little bit of like, we going to fight in here or later outside, you know?
Yeah.
They both know what's going on. Obi-Wan's like, yeah, you definitely had something to do with what I'm tracking down. And Jango's like, yeah, it's always great to meet a Jedi with the implied and kick their bleeping ass, you know? Is all implied in there. But for me, it all centers around, it's very early in the conversation. Obi-Wan is being polite. And he says that your clones are very impressive. You must be very proud. There are so many different ways that Jango Fett could have responded to that, right? He could have just said like, indeed, you know, he could have said nothing. But instead, he kind of puts out this statement that is true, right? That's his perspective of just like, what? The galaxy is full of people who are out for themselves, who will do anything to you. So you got to be ready to do anything to them. You got to be ready to do anything to survive. That's my world view, my galactic view. I'm out for myself. I'm just trying to get by. You attach all this meaning to it or whatever you want, you know, weird Jedi philosophy guy. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. So it is true. But it's also this like almost like old school dueling glove slap in dialogue form, right? Because it's like, I know you want information and I am going to stonewall the bleep out of you. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. I have no answers for you, friend. Like it's at once true and at once like with his words spitting in Kenobi's face. And it's just such a great declaration of the bounty hunter attitude.
It is. Poor Kenobi. Anytime he tries to get information, bounty hunters are like, it's just a job. I'm just trying to make my way. Like, what are you talking about? Frustrating. No, and you talk about great line then. Yeah, this was, again, one of those moments that did work for me upon first viewing. Even if I try to fight that, sometimes I would try to fight like what worked for me in the prequels back then. I'd be like, I'm imagining that. No, there's just something about it, and especially because with Jango, you know, that wasn't well received at all by a lot of fans of a Boba Fett, Boba Fett's father. Like, we don't need this. That kind of thing. That kind of conversation might have been around, but this is one of the moments where it worked for me, where it just seemed to fit, and this is what it would want out of the character. This is what it would want out of Boba Fett's father and legacy. It just worked on a lot of levels, and then just the tension. It's especially if you watch it now, it's dripping with tension. It's about to burst, and I love that moment too. And it works for me. Jango works for me, man.
Yeah, I mean, Jango. I talked a lot about my perspective and owning it is my perspective of kind of being introduced to the bounty hunters in the original trilogy era and waiting for them to explode. And they do in books and really take action. Yeah. And I feel like Attack of the Clones is where it really, really happens. Obviously, Boba Fett takes some action in Return of the Jedi and Luke's whole fight and all that. But Jango's like, you know, for my number one, I was tempted to be like, yeah, it always this beat from his fight with Kenobi, the seismic charges, taking out Coleman Trabor, losing his head, like so many thrilling moments of action with Jango that really said like, all right, let's the gloves are off when it comes to bounty hunter action. But I just had to go with my gut because I think this moment is about the spirit in this. As soon as he says that, you're like, oh, they're going to fight.
Yeah.
This is the opening bell to the cool fights that are coming.
It is. And I think it's a perfect number one for this episode because this truly is the bounty hunter life. Just truly making your way in the universe. Just doing jobs. Setting your own hours.
Yep.
Think about
what?
It.
I'm just doing this because the benefits are good. What?
I like freelance. I don't want to work in an office. All right.
I wear sweatpants and set my own schedule, Kenobi. You got a problem with that?
I think it's perfect. And I love that Jango Fett and Kenobi end our show and our list here today. But who knows? We could do a bounty hunter list too, because more moments are probably on the way. And there's so many we didn't even get to. So thank you, sir, for your number one. You're just a simple Star Wars podcaster trying to make your way in the universe and came up with a great list.
You as well.
All right, my friends, that is it for this week. What are some of your moments? You might have some. And if you do, you can reach out on Twitter. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Star Wars Ranked. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on a lot of different spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. From there, you can link to my radio show, Pop Rock and Radio. Have a lot of fun playing music. We got a live show usually on Wednesday and Saturday nights. A new show out called The Slow Stuff, where I play more of the slower, sad music that I don't feel fits into a rocking live show there. Check it out on my website, kennapsok.com. Joseph, where can they find you, sir?
Yeah, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I encourage you to check out TikTok. I talked last week about how I'm being punished by the algorithm because I'm not posting quite as often as they like. And many of you came to hit the old like button on CO Bibble, which I really, really appreciated. So if you're interested in seeing some of my action figures, check out TikTok. Everything else you can find on my website, josephsgrimshaw.com.
Wonderful. That is it for this week. So for all the bounty hunters making their way through the universe, thanks for listening. Star Wars has been ranked.